Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 21. So we will finish up 1 John chapter 4 today. My lesson today is titled, God is Love. Theos agape estin. God is love. Now, let me just say that preaching through 1 John in some ways is challenging. And it's challenging because he talks about topics again and again and again. So, for example, this is the third time John has addressed the topic of love. And so, what more can I say than I said in lesson one and lesson two, right? I mean, it's challenging. When you have a book that emphasizes love in three different chapters. So it makes it a little bit more challenging because, I mean, there's only so much knowledge, right, on the topic of love. But anyway, our message today is titled, God is Love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. And so, our points today. I don't have a PowerPoint. Point one today, what God is. Point two, what God did. Point three, what God is doing. All right, so let's talk about the first point, what God is. Now, John gives us insight into the nature of God. We know a little bit more about what the nature of God is like because of John. And first, for example, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 4, verse 24, John says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he is the author of 1 John. So he tells us there in John 4, 24 that God is spirit. So we know that God is immaterial. We know that God is not a physical being. He is a spiritual being. You know, the Mormons would say God is a man, and he has flesh and bones just like I have, all right? And so Adam progressed to godhood, and that's the whole philosophy behind Mormonism, is that it's that of exaltation, that you can be God one day. So God is spirit, and this explains how God can be eternal. God is not subject to decay like physical things are, like our universe is. It is decaying. It's running down. But God is spirit, and he's not affected by the physical. God is a spiritual being. But in addition to that, John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, if you remember, he says that God is light. And then he says, and in him is no darkness, no, not all, at all. And so it's really a double negative, but it's for emphasis purposes. And he's simply saying that God is light. And to say that God is light is to say that God is holy, because he says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all, referring to sin and evil. None of that is in God. God is holy, we're told. We have a picture of God on the throne in Isaiah chapter 6, and these cherubim, these angels are flying around the throne, and they're calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And to say that God is holy is to say that God is unique. It's to say he's separate from sin, that's true, but it's also to say that he's unique, he's one of a kind. There's no one like him. He's in a league all of his own. He is set apart from everyone and everything. God is holy. But then John tells us that God is love in verse 8 and verse 16. God is love. Now, to help us out with that, let's just hold your finger here and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul stresses the importance of love. And beginning at verse 1, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he says, and by the way, the word agape is all the way through here. That's what Paul's discussing in 1 Corinthians 13. It's agape. It's God's love. He says, beginning in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and then says, love never fails. And so that kind of gives us a picture of love. When we're talking about agape love, 1 Corinthians 13 emphasizes the importance of that. And then we can see how love expresses itself. And by the way, when you say God is love, that is not saying God is loving. Those are not the same thing. Now, because God is love, He expresses His love. But to say God is loving and God is love, those two things are not the same. All right? And so God is love. That's His nature. That's His essence. That's who He is. All right. He's spirit. He's holy. He's love. And He's many other things. But those are the things that John tells us about the nature of God. And we know that God's love is unconditional. That's one of the main things about God's love that makes it so amazing, is that it's not based on anything we do. And so God does not love you because, and He doesn't love you if, He loves you, period. That's what the Bible teaches. And so, He doesn't love you because, He doesn't love you if, He loves you, period. It's unconditional love. There's nothing that you can do to make God love you more or love you less. Even if you run out on Him and you rebel against Him, He's still going to love you, because not only is His love unconditional, but His love is eternal. And Romans chapter 8, Paul says this beginning at verse 35. Let's begin at verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that you can die lost, but I believe if you die lost, you will die breaking the heart of God, because God loves you. And God wants you to be in a relationship with Him. And He's done everything to make that possible. And so God is love. But secondly, what God did. So notice verses 9 and 10 and 11. First point was verses 7 and 8. Then verse 9, 10, and 11. He says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What God did, God sent His Son into the world, the Bible says. He sent His Son into the world that we might live, that we might have life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, in John chapter 21, verses 30 and 31, or chapter 20, 30 and 31, he says, "And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." And so God sent Jesus into the world so that we could live, he tells us here in verse 9. He sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 10, that is, he's the sacrifice of atonement. And so Jesus literally turned away God's wrath from you and from me when you obeyed the gospel. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God's wrath was turned away from you. It's no longer on you. It's no longer hanging over you. You're no longer under the wrath of God. I love Romans 8 and verse 1. In Romans 8 and verse 1, Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And so, in John 3:16, what is God doing? We're told, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I want to turn your attention to a text in Romans chapter 5. I think this is one of the most incredible passages. Romans 5. And I want us to read verses 5 through 11. Listen to what Paul says here. Paul says, "For when we were still without strength," in other words, when we were in sin and powerless to do anything about our situation, God in love sent Jesus. It says, "In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." And then Paul says, "For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." So think about this for a moment. Paul says we all know of heroic situations where maybe a soldier took a bullet for a fellow soldier because he loved him and he gave his life for that individual. Or maybe a soldier jumps on a grenade to keep from his fellow soldiers from being harmed by the grenade. We all know of heroic situations. Someone runs into a burning home to rescue somebody, to bring them out of there. We all know of situations like that. But that's not what we're dealing with here. This is different. Notice verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't die for good people. He didn't die for wonderful people. The Bible says He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. Who dies for their enemies? That's the point. A soldier may die for another soldier, or maybe a neighbor runs into a home that's on fire to rescue somebody, but who gives their lives for their enemies? Who does this? You don't have any heroic situations like that because you don't do that. When you have an enemy, you don't die for him. That's just not what you do. It's not what we do. I don't know how many enemies you're willing to die for, but I would say none, perhaps. And that's the case. And Christ didn't die for good people. He died for enemies. So He did exactly what nobody does. He died when we were enemies. He says we were ungodly. Think about that. We were the enemies of God. And God in love sent Jesus to die so that His enemies could be a part of His family. You see, we don't do that. We have a hard time with people we should love. I'm going to bring out a situation. So last week we had a lady come in seeking help. And she sat in that chair over there. And you could tell she was homeless. Just by her appearance, you could just tell that she's homeless. And when I went over to talk to her, she said, "I feel like a ghost." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, "Well, no one's talking to me." And I invited her for lunch, but that's just a situation. I mean, we should love all people, everybody, regardless if they're homeless or they're a millionaire. It shouldn't matter. We should love every person because God loves every person. And God wants people to be in His family. So I'm just saying, we struggle with people we should love. I know we're not going to do well with people we don't love. But we'll talk about that because we need to love people. That's what John is getting at in 1 John chapter 4. And so what God did was an amazing thing. When we were enemies, when we were shaking our fist at God, telling God we'll live how we want to live, we'll do what we want to do, and we don't care what He thinks about it. Those are the ones that Christ died for, went to the cross for. And that's incredible when you think about it. So when you think God is love, He loves everybody unconditionally and eternally. But then what God is doing. What God is doing. And this takes up the rest of the chapter. So notice beginning at verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in Him and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And so I'm going to stop there for just a moment. What God is doing. What God is doing is God is living in His people and loving through them. And so God, long ago, God's desire has always been to live in His people. In the very beginning, we read about men like Enoch. He walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Noah walked with God. Later on in the Judges, we read about the Spirit of God coming upon people, but it didn't enter them. It just came upon them. God's Spirit was on them and enabled them to do incredible things. And then God told the Israelites to build a tabernacle. And so there's this tent that they erected in the wilderness. It was a portable worship center. And this is the place where God's presence will be. And God dwelt in the midst of His people. And Israel camped around the tabernacle. And so they camped on all sides of the tabernacle. And so God was dwelling in the midst of His people. But now in the new covenant, through Jesus Christ, God lives and dwells in His people. And He does so by means of the Holy Spirit. And so He tells us this very clearly. In verse 13, by this we know we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And so God Almighty lives in us. Now when God comes to indwell us through His Spirit, what happens? He floods your soul with love. That's what He does. Romans 5 and verse 5, because the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. When you become a Christian, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. He fills your heart with love, and then God expects you to love people. Because He loves people. And one of the ways that God loves people is through His people. All right, we know God loves us as He's in heaven and as He's present. But He also loves us through people. And we witness this and we experience this when someone dies. And you just look at the love that is poured out on a family. You know, Dinner is brought, you know, to the family, prayers, there's visits, there's cards, there's phone calls, all of this. This is God loving His people through His people. And that's what God wants to do. And so there are priorities of love. And so, for example, we are to love God, right? And so you look in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6, you know, Shema Yisrael, right? Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Akkad. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Verse 5 says, and then, so we are to love God above all. And so God floods our heart. He gives us agape love. This is God's love. It's unconditional love. And so we're to love people unconditionally, just like God loves people unconditionally. Not because they look like us or dress like us or they're someone we like. No, it's unconditional love. It doesn't matter whether they're homeless or whether they're an inmate in prison or whether they're a banker. It doesn't matter. God's love is unconditional, and His love is to flow through us. First and foremost, it is to be directed to God. The Bible is clear about this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, and Jesus used this in Matthew chapter 23, but He says to love your neighbor as yourself. And so we are to love our neighbor. God wants us to love people. Now, Jesus upped the ante on this in John 13, 34 and 35. When He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so we're to love as Jesus loved us. That's on a totally different plane. Loving your neighbor as yourself is one thing. Loving your neighbor like Jesus loves them is another thing. All right, it's not the same. It's different. He's elevated it. He's made it higher. But it's one of the priorities of love. And so God indwells us so that He can love through us. And that's what God wants to do. And we are to love our brothers and sisters. And this is something that John talks about all through the book. But notice verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So you can't be in a relationship with the one whose nature is love and not love. And so if you're in a relationship with Him, and or you think you're in a relationship with Him, but you don't love people, and you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you don't know God, period. That's what He says in chapter 3, verse 16. He says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't. And that's John's point. And he says in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then he says in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is. What is He? He's loving. He's loving. And as He is in the world, so are we. We're loving. God's people are to be loving. And so we have these priorities of love. God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, John says over, chapter 2, verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And so you're not in the light. If you have hatred in your heart for a brother or a sister in Christ, you're in the darkness. You're in the darkness. And you need to ask God to help you. First of all, forgive you. And then secondly, help you express the love that He wants to flow through you. He's filled us with His love. And He expects that love to flow through our lives and into the lives of other people. Love God. Love your brother, your sister. Love your neighbor. But also love your enemy. Right? Jesus died for His enemies. And we are to love our enemies as well. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said in verse 43 and 44, He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?" This is conditional love. "Do not even tax collectors do the same?" Of course they do. "And if you love your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so?" Yes, they do so. "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And so His love is perfected in us, we're told in 1 John chapter 4 here. And so God wants us to love through Him and love your enemies. So there's this little boy, he got mad at his mom and dad. And so he stormed out and he ran and he was on a mountainside. And he just yelled out, "I hate you!" Because that's his response to his mom and dad. And then, of course, the echo come back, "I hate you, I hate you." You know, and he's like, where'd that come from? He didn't know what was going on. And so he ran back down and he told mom and dad, he said, "There's some kid on the other side of the mountain over there and he was telling me that he hated me." Well, his mom and them had an idea what happened. They said, "Well, tell you what you do, son. You go up there and you yell out that you love him as loud as you can." And so he goes back up there and he yells, "I love you." And here it comes, "I love you, I love you," echoing back. And see, we have to express love. You want to experience it, you got to express it. And so God wants to love people through you. This world needs love. It's what it needs. It needs love. It needs the love of God. And you have it. You possess it. God is living in you. And He's loving through you. And He wants to love everyone through you. And He wants the world to be reconciled to Him. And He wants you to be involved in that reconciliation as you share the good news of the gospel with people. Because that is ultimately, I think, how we demonstrate the greatest love, is by sharing the greatest love of all. And that's God's love in Jesus Christ. And so as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And we love everybody else because He loved us, because He showed us what love is. Not human love, not worldly love, not conditional love. I love you if, I love you because, I love you, period. That's God's love. And that's the love that God wants you to show the world. And so God is living in you and He's loving through you and you need to let Him. Don't hinder Him. Don't stop Him. He wants to express His love to other people. We need to learn to let Him do that, because this is His temple. This is His house. He lives here. And we need to be submissive and allow God to work through us and love through us. And so if you're struggling with this, I encourage you, ask God to help you. If you're struggling to love people the way He wants you to love people, ask God, "God, help me love people the way You love people. Help me express this love, because I don't feel like I'm doing a good job of it." I want to be a person through whom your love is shown to the world. Help me to love. And God will help you to love if you ask Him, if you're struggling with that. And for those of you who aren't in a relationship with God, you need to know that He loves you. And He says in verse 13, by this we know that we abide in Him because He is in us, because He's given us the Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so God sent Jesus into the world to die, to pay your debt, my debt at the cross. And by my acceptance of Jesus, my debt is paid. And my sin has been atoned for. It's been forgiven. It's been covered. It's been taken away. It's no more. And I have a relationship with God. And this is all through Jesus Christ. And so if you don't know Jesus, this morning we encourage you. We're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, it's to encourage you to think about where you are in your relationship with God. And if you're not where you want to be, come forward and let us talk with you and let us share God's word with you. Whatever your need is, make it known as we sing.